The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us on today's special. Today, on today's special, we're going to speak about training of children.
How's the future hold close? For a time will come. Deep in your heart, there's a river that flows all the way to kingdom come. Through the sandstorms where the high wind blows, desert rose does bloom. Please help me give the young a chance, lead them in the dance. My people, give the young a chance, change the circumstance. And so, it's written as the moon shall turn the tides, and as the star shall light your eyes.
Today, Friday, is the 29th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of the month of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We'll listen to chapter Luqman, verse 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير.
And we have enjoined upon man care for his parents. His mother carried him, increasing her in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning is in 2 years. Be grateful to me and to your parents. To me is the final destination.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the verse under discussion, at first the kindness to parents has become recommended. Then the Quran points to the course of mother's pregnancy in order to awaken the moral conscience of man and that he should not forsake the events of the past. He must always remember that his mother bore him and fed him with her own milk. She dispensed with her sleep and food for sake of his tranquility in a manner that no one was really to bear such troubles.
Look around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us? Or are we so blind to push it all aside? No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right, we'll see the signs. We can't keep hiding from the truth and let it take us by surprise. Protect us in the best way. Guide us every single day. Keep us close to you until the end of time.
Training of Children is the title of this part on today's special from IRIB English Radio. The guidance that a parent gives his child is vital for the progress of the child. Although the child may not appreciate it at the time, a loving parent knows that it is incumbent upon him to make his child learn from his own knowledge and experience. This enables the child to avoid the mistakes the parent may have made and benefit from his wisdom. Imam Ali alayhi salam wrote a will to his son Imam Hassan, advising him on how to live in this world. I found you a part of myself. Rather, I found you my whole, so much that if anything befell you, it was as though it befell me. And if death come to you, it was as though it came to me. Consequently, your affairs meant to me as my own matters would mean to me.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with educating children. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated it in this way: a good dua child is a flower granted by and on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to his servants. Likewise, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated it in this way, that there's no house, there's no home in which there are daughters unless 12 types of graces will come down to those homes every day, and the divine angels will visit those homes. And likewise, for the fathers, I mean for the fathers of these daughters, there will be indicated, there will be written, indicated, recorded, the religious rewards of 1 year of worshipping God. In the teachings of the 6th Infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, it's indicated that the children of Muslims, the children of Muslims, are regarded as intercessors by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when they grow up and when they reach the age of 12, the religious rewards will be written for them, will be recorded for them. And when they reach puberty, the sins will also be recorded in the profiles. So we find that, I mean, there's seldom any aspect of education concerned with the life and times, and also the education of children, that would be, I mean, ignored. We find that almost everything has been concentrated on.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Religious training of children believes in the hereafter. Dear friend, children should be gradually introduced to the idea of death and the life hereafter. Although it may be confusing for younger children, it is advisable that parents talk about it from time to time, especially as the children grow older. A death in the family or community could be used as an example that all humans are mortal, and each one of us will go the same way. It is best to be honest with the child. Beliefs in the prophets and imam. It is necessary for children to understand the role of prophets and to have love for the Holy Prophet Muhammad and the imams, peace be upon them all. This can be taught by reading stories from their lives to them. It is also important to attach significance to the occasions when we commemorate their birth and demise.
Trials of life upon me are more precious than diamonds and gold. Tested with fire, I may be, but I know I'll come out stronger in this world. And deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me in my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in life, the world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone or anything in life but you.
Habits of successfully raising Muslim child. One step is dua. This is on today's special from IRIB English Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, it is the weapon for every Muslim. It is the right of the children that their parents pray for them even while they are unborn. Parents should make dua. And Allah ascribes to the righteous worshippers to making the dua or prayer. Our Lord, bestow on us from our wives and our offspring who will be the comfort of our eyes. This was the way of the prophets. We find Prophet Zechariah praying, O my Lord, grant me from you a good offspring. You are indeed the all-hearer of invocation. So parents should make sincere dua for righteous children, a dua which comes from the bottom of the heart, with certainty that our dua will be answered. The Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, "Call upon Allah with certainty that He will answer you. Know that Allah will not answer the supplication of a heart that is heedless and careless."
What is our role as parents towards raising our children in the West? How can we raise pious, righteous children in the West? Now, what we have to understand is our children are a trust from God given to us. God has entrusted with our kids. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with our kids. And He wants to see, how do we raise them? Do we succeed in raising them or do we fail? And He mentions this in the Quran. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna." He says, know that your wealth, your money, and your children are fitna. What is fitna? Fitna means Allah is trying you through them. It's a trial. Allah tries us through our wealth and our children. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me children, I don't own them. No. There is a responsibility towards my children. And that responsibility is, I have to make sure I raise them in the correct way. So unless I at home, I instill in my children the Islamic constant values and principles, chances are that they're going to be swept away by this current. Here in the West, you have to work against the tides. The tides are against you. Because the stream of immorality, of changing morality and liberalism and permissiveness is very powerful. And our kids will get swept into it. So unless you work overtime and make sure that you're aware of the danger, unless you're aware of the danger, chances are you're going to have a very difficult time. And you won't succeed in raising your kids.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since we are on the threshold of the meritorious month of Rajab, on the first day of which happens to be the blessed birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the fifth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, we now present you a beautiful saying from him to contemplate upon. You are the son of 3 days. Your birthday, the day on which you will be taken to your grave, and the day on which you will be resurrected to meet your Lord. That will be surely a horrible day, depending on one's deeds.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the Hadith of Hisham, we have reached the 8th section of the tradition, where the Imam alayhi salam warns Hisham and warns us that the majority are not always correct. Be careful. Just because there are large in numbers, just because so many people are going to one side, does not mean that that side is correct. There's something for us to take heed of, especially in the world we are living in today, where we see so many people going towards certain ideals and certain ideologies, that even those ideals and ideologies may be against Islam, may be against the deen, may be against the sharia of Allah and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Imam says, O Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also censored the majority. For he has said in the Holy Quran, if you obey the majority of those on earth, they will lead you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from Surah An'am, verse number 116. And the Imam continues and he says that if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say, Allah did. Say, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they admitted the truth. However, most of them do not know that admitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator necessitates that they accept that there is but one Allah. This is an important thing that just because some people, if you know today, admit, yes, there is a creator, but so what? What else? What else must I do about it? You know, you have to, you know, submit to this creator of yours. There are conditions to it. There is, you know, your intellect will tell you that. And this is what the Imam is trying to say here. And the last verse that the Imam mentioned, that verse was from Surah Luqman, the 31st chapter of the Holy Quran, verse number 25. And the last verse the Imam mentions in this section, if you ask them who sends down water from the sky with which he revives the earth after its death, they will surely say, Allah does. Say, praise be to Allah that they conceded to the truth. However, most of them do not use their intellect to understand that their admission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole Lord and manager of affairs necessitates that they accept that there is but one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see, my dear brothers and sisters, that the use of the intellect in admitting that there is a God, most of the people know that there is a creator according to these verses, and according to what our theology says, that majority of people are not, you know, 100% or, you know, completely atheist. It is actually said that rarely will a person find a pure atheist. But we have these people who admit that there has to be something. But in the instance, they make a mistake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to make us of those who truly understand and pay heed to the warnings and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Om.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, the program where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Dear brother Habib, thank you very much for coming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's always nice to have you with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always nice to be here, Hussein.
Thank you very much. So with brother Habib, we go through the verses of the Quran one by one. We're on Surah 19, chapter 19 of the Quran, which is about Lady Mary. We started this chapter around Christmas in respect of our Christian friends. And we're still on these verses. We arrive today on verse 14. Let's listen to a couple of verses and we'll be back for the questions.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَالِدَيْهِ
and dutiful to his parents, and he was not a disobedient tyrant. And peace be upon him the day he was born, and the day he dies, and the day he is raised alive.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to a couple of verses from verse 14 from chapter 19, Surah Maryam. All right, let's go through the first verse, which is verse 14. And good to his parents as was not self-willed or disobedient. Okay, so there's a particular word which I want to ask you about, and the word is Jabbar. Right? He didn't force himself on people, his thoughts on people. The question here is that was Yahya or John the kind of person who wouldn't go beyond intellectual discussions? And if he was, should that be our role model today, in your opinion?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. When looking not only at the lifestyle of Yahya but other prophets and the Imam alayhim salam themselves and the different verses available in the Holy Quran talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, one can get a notion or concept that the Prophet ما عليه إلا البلاغ, he doesn't have anything to do other than to spread the message. And other than that, a method of spreading the message is to actually fend off any misconceptions or doubts that could be placed on the school of thought or the theology or the ideology that the Prophet was bringing. Thus, and hence, it is from the Prophet's characteristics to only go into intellectual debates or, you know, intellectual
discussions.
Other than that, forcing someone to enter religion without their will is out of their criteria or out of their, their orders or out of what they were told to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there came a time that Allah ordered one of the prophets or the imam to, you know, force people into the religion, then yeah, it's a different story. But the way and manner that the prophets came by was in this manner. They do not force anyone into the religion. They tell the people about the religion and the righteousness of the religion. If they accepted it, then they accepted it. If they don't accept it, let them be.
So we don't have any instances where a prophet would force someone to become a Muslim, otherwise they would be killed.
No. Killed for being a Muslim? No. For not being a Muslim? No.
And what about instances when a Muslim might want to revert from Islam to another religion? Isn't that forcing them to stay Muslim?
That really comes, this law of, you know, forcing people to come back to you know, not letting them go after coming into religion. It comes from the idea of society comes first. The safeness and the order and the organization of society comes first. It's more important than individual. And then comes second the individual interest or the things that involve individuals. So if this individual, this action of leaving Islam and then showing out that you have left Islam and it's the religion and you believe it's a wrong religion will cause some kind of corruption. That is why it must be stopped in a manner that people will not fall into any misconceptions or many different negative effects.
So it's only a problem when it gets messy, when it becomes uneducated, unacademic.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break now, and we'll be back after the break for a few more questions.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 14 of Surah 19. We are on verse 14 of chapter 19, Surah Mary. We're asking about the word Jabbar, and it's all about forcing people into religion. Just a quick question, because this might not be directly related to this show. A question here is that we're saying that prophets never forced people into religion. Once a person is in religion, some rulings, if they violate them, the repercussion for that might be a whip or a kind of other punishment. How does this differ from Jabbar and forcing people into religion?
First of all, I want to leave this to the kind of verses that will talk about these, you know, capital punishments, the idea of capital punishments, and وَفِيهَا حَيَاتٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. It has life for those who so understand, all those who understand, or those who are intellect. And this really goes back to the fact that human beings, you're under Islamic law. As long as you're a Muslim, you have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means submitting to His laws. Submitting to His laws means that you will obey anything and everything that He states. When you disobey, there of course are actions there are punishments, or you could say effects that happen. For example, when you are doing this kind of sin in community, you are causing corruption to this community, to this society, going back to that factor of society first. When doing this sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep people away from doing this sin. Because when a human being sees that someone's doing this and someone's doing that, they want to copy. Monkey do, monkey see. If you believe in Darwin and Darwin's evolution, humans see, humans do is the same as monkey do, monkey see. When they see people doing these sins, it becomes something natural to them. They want to do it and commit it as well. They will see that, all right, we can do it as well. But when you have punishments and capital punishments to stop these kinds of sins, then that means what? They will be in fear of doing it. For example, murder, serial killers, school shootings. Go ahead and state them. Killing innocent people. When you see someone, when they get mad, kill this person for no reason, just to, you know, calm themselves down, to calm their wrath down, and then walk away with no one giving him capital punishment or putting him in prison, for example, for like, I don't know, 30 years or 40 years on some situations that they get out of bail, on bail, for example. Then other people will want to do it as well, other people who are not mentally stable. Thus, there must be something to stop the human being, to stop that soul, that wicked soul, from moving on into these actions. One way of doing that is to kill that person in front of the people, so they can understand that this is the punishment of doing such actions. When you see someone dying in front of you, when you see someone getting lashed in front of you, when you see someone getting stoned in front of you, that fear will come back to your heart.
So just to summarize, the lack of repercussion encourages people to cause disorder in the community,
yeah,
which prevents the community
and
from,
of course,
flourishment.
This human rights thing is something new. 200 years ago, you would talk about this topic, it would be something so necessary, so clear, so something that, it's a notion that's available. But because of these, you know, human laws that were placed by some European people to save their, you know, personal interests, people will see it as something very taboo. But when you look at it, really, we need this. And there are some U.S. presidents that have been saying and calling that we should bring in back capital punishment.
But generally, I was speaking about various kinds of punishments. So thank you very much for your opinion, Brother Habib. Let's take a break, and we'll be back to move on to the next verse after the break. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, And we are on chapter 19. We're moving on to verse 15. So up to now, God was listing some of the advantages of Yahya, calling him compassionate, pure, God-wary, good to his parents, not self-willed and not disobedient. And here he says, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيَّ. Peace be to him, the day he was born and the day he dies and the day he is raised alive. Now this is a verse which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. By the time this was revealed, Yahya was already passed. But the verb that God subhanahu wa ta'ala is using in this ayah is a future tense. The day he dies, but Yahya is already dead. The day he is raised alive, and that's probably the day of judgment. But can you explain to us why the Quran is talking in future tense here?
When looking at this verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually notifying us. Ikhbar, it's not saying that I am saying salamun alayhi or praying for him for the future. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that salamun alayhi yawma wulid, that there was peace for him when he was born. And there was peace on him when he was dead, when he passed away, and there will be peace on him when he comes back for resurrection. That's one answer. The second answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to that situation, like we are living before Yahya, and he is talking to us like before we are living with Yahya, before Yahya came into this world, and stating that salamun alayhi yawma wulid yawma yamut wa yawma yub'athu hayya.
So it's considering us in that situation right there, so it makes sense for it to be future.
It has there are a couple of verses that are like that, especially when we're talking about the prophets. It's like it has to do with the eloquence in the Arabic language. It's like it's taking your hand and taking you into the scenario.
Into the history.
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful way to put it. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. That's all the time that we have, unfortunately. But if you missed the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. You can also email us until next week and another program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This program is about the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And in today's program, we're going to begin it by listening to a quote from the Supreme Leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, who's going to say a few things about this great personality.
اگر عزت، عزت نفس در درون لایه‌های عمیق وجود انسان نفوذ کرد.
If self-respect permeates the deepest layers of one's being, one will not be affected by Satan. One will not be affected by human passions. One will not become a slave to lust and wrath. And Imam Khomeini was such a person.
Imam در طول حیات چه در حوزه علم و تدریس
throughout his studying and teaching years, throughout the time he was engaged in political activities, and throughout the time he was managing the country, Imam Khomeini remained in manifestation of, quote, rely on the mighty, the merciful. The Holy Quran, chapter 26, verse 217.
برای همین بود که کارهای بزرگ که همه میگفتند نشدنی است.
It was for this reason that he managed to do what was considered impossible. All the obstacles which were considered insurmountable became surmountable after he stepped into the arena. Not only was Imam Khomeini the embodiment of honor and spiritual power, but he also revived the spirit of honor among our people. This was the great achievement that our magnanimous Imam accomplished.
روح عزت را در ملت هم زنده کرد. این کار بزرگ امام بزرگوار بود. ملت ما با احساس عزتی که از درس‌های انقلاب و امام آموخت.
Our nation rediscovered itself by relying on the sense of honor that it gained from Imam Khomeini and the revolution. Our nation discovered itself and its capabilities. And this is the reason why we have seen many of the divine promises being fulfilled in front of our eyes over the past few decades. We have seen with our own eyes the kind of things that we would only read about in history books. Over these years, we have seen the arrogant powers being defeated by the oppressed. We have seen that the seemingly impressive castles of the arrogant powers are built on air. We have seen many such things.
Once again, very powerful description of how he viewed the great Imam. And he mentions the fact that, of course, the Imam, as you mentioned in previous programs, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, first of all, I'd like to say salam to you and welcome to you to the program.
Alaykum salam rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
He mentions the fact that, of course, Imam Khomeini came to help the oppressed. He came to raise those people who were oppressed, to give them confidence to stand and make their stand against the tyrants of our time. And, of course, we're going to speak about some major events that took place at the outset of the Islamic Revolution here in Iran, because there was so much going on, there's so much to speak about, and there were so many great events which really, both in the East as well as the West, we were completely taken aback by. We were sometimes quite shocked by what was happening. But again, the Supreme Leader makes it very clear that the way he views the Imam as a pure personality who really challenged the Satan of our time. So, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, can you take us to the next level, if I can put it that way, in terms of, what the Supreme Leader had to say about this great personality?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think what we heard from the Supreme Leader, and by the way, what we heard in those few sentences was the Supreme Leader speaking at the anniversary of the death of Imam Khomeini,
right,
which
right.
is held every
that's
year.
That's very important. Yes, of
at
course.
At the shrine. Of Imam Khomeini.
So this is the context in which
right.
we heard this.
And in
quote.
That in that annual event, you have the Supreme Leader coming and talking about Imam and the revolution, and it's actually one of the important events of the calendar in the Islamic Republic, and. You know, as he said, you know, we saw these things with our own eyes.
With our own eyes.
We witnessed these things. We experienced these things. And he said that, you know, when somebody has complete trust in Allah, then, you know, Shaitan, the devil, Iblis, whatever you want to call it, that inner, you know, that self which, you know, leads you to the wrong things, does not control you any longer. You are not swayed by threats. You are not deceived
by offers.
Yes. You are. You don't let your anger and your desires, you know, get in the way of what needs to be done, and the way you need to act and behave properly. So this is what the Supreme Leader talks about when he's talking about Imam. And he talked about the fact that this was the case at the time when Imam was a seminary teacher, you know. This was the case before the revolution when he was leading the revolutionary movement. And this was the case after the victory of the Islamic revolution, right, and where he was the leader, the supreme leader, and the Imam of this revolution, sure, and the Islamic Republic. Mm-hmm. And remember, each stage, each of these stages has its own tricks and its own deceptions and its own traps.
Well, traps, yes.
And in each stage, you had a man from the beginning
who's firm,
who worked on himself at a young age. Mm. And remember, Imam always used to tell us, he used to say, you work on yourself when you're young. You know, gain control of yourself when you're young.
Young.
Mm. It's very difficult when you get older.
That's true.
Mm. And, you know, we even have this in Islamic,
yes,
Irfan. We,
yes,
have it in Islamic, you know, the
teachings, yes.
The teachings, the ethics teachings that, you know, when you reach 40, things are not rooted.
Are rooted,
your,
yes,
behaviors become rooted in your personality. Exactly. Not that it's impossible, but becomes more difficult.
Becomes more difficult.
These behaviors achieve. Then have, you know, established roots, and it becomes more difficult to rip them out.
Rip them out.
And those good behaviors that you have, in the same way. Mm. You have rooted them, they have become part of your personality. But after 40, and you know, 40 is one of those magical
years,
you know,
yeah,
we have this in many religions. We,
yes,
we even have it in Judaism. We have it, you know, in different,
yes, absolutely,
in different traditions where the age of 40 is one of those. We have it in the Quran.
Hmm.
You know, where you reach 40, you thank God for the parents that you had. And
that's right. Yes, absolutely.
You know, you yourself have become a parent,
yep,
and you realize many things. So, Imam used to tell everyone that, you know, work on yourself when you're young. So he did this for himself. He was known before he was known as a faqih, before he was known as a legal scholar. At the time when he was younger and teaching in the Hawza, he was known as the teacher of philosophy and of ethics. And, you know, this is what he did. So when these challenges then happened in his life, he was able to
withstand them
and to respond to them in the way that pleases Allah.
Exactly, which pleases Allah. That's a very, very important
point. When he was given worldly power, he did not abuse it.
No, he did not.
He did not lose himself. He did not, you know, do things that would make us ashamed.
Well, let me put it in
make himself ashamed.
Exactly.
We've talked about many times.
Yeah,
just
in a conventional sense.
We've talked many times about people going to Jamaran, visiting his residence,
yes,
so to speak.
I've seen
and,
it,
you know,
yes,
we say residence with a little smile.
Smile, yes.
It's quote-unquote residence. It's a 60-meter apartment.
Apartment. It's very small.
You know, which 60 square meters, which is where Imam and his wife lived at the time when he was the leader of the Islamic Republic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because I was going to say that in the conventional sense...
Two rooms.
That you have these charismatic leaders or, you know, even in a positive sense, if I want to put it that way. But of course, you know, when you look at their residence, when you look at the salary they receive, the benefits and the privileges of their position, you know, Imam Khomeini had none of that. And that was the first thing that threw us when we first encountered this gentleman at the time of the, you know, this leader at the revolution, that we began to understand that he was a man who never gave a damn for palaces, for, you know, extraordinary residencies. And, you know, I mean, I've seen the place myself. I went there and, you know, there's a plaque outside the door which says that this was rented.
Yeah, it was rented.
Rented. I mean, that's the thing. It's rented to a leader. I mean, a country that is rich in oil wealth.
Think about this for a second.
Yeah.
You are you are the leader of a revolution.
Sure.
People, you know, sacrificing themselves for you.
Exactly.
He insists on renting this place and paying it with his own money.
With his own money. And it's, you know...
And he says, you know, I'm not going to take money from the state coffers. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to have the budget.
No.
There was no such thing as the budget of the supreme leader or of the imam, you know, in as part of the government budget. You know what I mean?
No, it's extraordinary. It makes me very emotional at this moment.
He comes from a family from Khomeini. They had properties there, land properties, which they had rented, or which they would have an income from the agricultural products that were produced on there. And this is how he made his money. That's it. And he used to talk about it, or not he himself, but his relatives mentioned a few times that this was family property. It wasn't just his. It was, you know,
among
a group of the descendants of the original owners, you know, cousins and so on.
Sure.
And they used to pool this money, and some of the money they would use to feed the poor people in their family. You know what I mean? They would, you know.
Yes.
The money would come in yearly, mm-hmm. then they would distribute it. They'd sure. be like, okay, who's poor in the family? Who recently had a baby? Who, you know,
right, okay.
who needs the money right now? Who wants to get married? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all these things that families usually discuss.
Yes.
And so they would use that, and then he would get his share, okay,
right.
as part of the family, and then he would use it to pay his rent in his 60 meters. His 60 square meters, and he's the supreme leader. Okay, this was not this was because of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Exactly. This is because
he's the follower of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay, he's the follower of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He's the follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and this is the way they lived. This is the way they taught us to live. That even if you're at the height of power,
yeah,
and people are completely devoted to you, you will not lose yourself. Okay, and this is a problem we have.
It is very much so, and
this is even Muslims. We're not even talking about.
Yeah, I know.
We're not accepting ourselves
right
from
across
this.
The board.
Okay, we lose ourselves. Instead of becoming more humble, the more Allah blesses us, the more arrogant we become, as you said. Yeah. The more arrogant we become. Okay, instead of the opposite, which is the more Allah blesses you, the more humble you have to become. The more careful you have to become. The more you have to. You know, think about every breath you're taking, everything you're saying, every move and every action that you have. You have to start thinking about that more, because you have more responsibility, because you have a higher goal, a higher aim. And when Allah blesses you, you know, this is how you move up. Allah sees that you have the capability, so He gives you more. If Allah sees you don't have the capability, that's it. It's done. It's finished. This is the level you reached. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, you'll go to heaven. Inshallah, things will be good. But this is your capacity. Now, look at a person like Imam. And again, we are saying all this while remembering that, you know, Imam is just a small, you know, reflection of the greatness of the Prophet, peace be upon him,
absolutely.
And the Imam.
So if
a fallible human being like me and you, If a nice old Sayyid like Imam was, you know, lovable and can do this and is like this and you've seen it, imagine the Prophet, peace be upon him.
The Prophet of Mercy, yes.
Imagine Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imagine the other Imams. And think about the things they were done to them. Think about the way they were treated by this world and those people around them. Okay? We saw the Imam. We saw what is possible for a human being who attaches himself to God. We saw it. We can't, you know, it's hard for us to repeat it, but we saw it.
We saw it.
We can't, like we said in the previous programs, we can't go back to the way we were before.
No, we can't.
You know, we can't, when we stand in front of Allah, you know, we can't say to Him, well, we didn't know. He says, you knew. You saw it.
Yes.
You were there.
Yeah.
He was there with you. Okay?
Sure.
So, remember, all this is of a person who is fallible, of a person like me and you.
Yes.
Not like the prophets the imams who are designed, created to lead
humanity. Selected. Yeah.
This is a man who worked on himself as a young person, who killed his nafs early on, and like the supreme leader says, was then immunized to all these things that happened later, whether it was being a teacher, like the incident that we spoke about in the previous program. So here is a man. He's a teacher in the Qom Seminary. It's the high